clinical psychologist and NUI lecturer, author of the new book Love In, Love Out, Dr. Mally Coyne is on the line. Mally, good morning to you.
Good morning, Jonathan. How are you?
Kids, I'm good, thank you. Kids have struggled, and there's no point in saying they haven't. And in many ways, they were kind of the forgotten group because the adults had their heads so far up their backsides that the children, the fact they were fed and watered was enough for now. How is it manifesting itself in children, this isolation that they will have felt acutely?
I think it's been very difficult for all of us. I think for parents, it's been really difficult, you know, and for children. I mean, at the end of the day, who knew that when we collected our kids on the 12th of March, we'd be looking after them single-handedly in a lockdown situation for the guts of 5.5 to 6 months. I'm sure it's felt like more to many of us, you know. So I think it's been, you know, to live in a kind of a world where the threat has suddenly increased and we don't really know what the future is going to hold for us even now. I think it's really impacted on parents, but it's really impacted on children in terms of their, you know, their social interactions, the kind of lack of contact they've had with peers over the last few months. And I suppose this idea of going back into school in a few weeks is going to be difficult for some more than others. But I definitely think it's Bernardo's survey found that lots of kids were about 84% of kids reported missing seeing their friends during the lockdown.
Yeah, and that's understandable. We all missed people, and kids and their friends are very close. They're, you know, your childhood friends are the most important friends to you at that moment in time. But it's also about how children view the world. We all like to think our kids feel safe. That's a primary responsibility as a parent. But when the parent can't guarantee that the world is safe because of something as big as COVID-19, then that leaches into the children in many ways. And if a parent is nervous about going out, then the child is probably after picking a little bit of that up as well.
Yeah, for sure. You know, I think it really depends on how the parent has coped over the last few months. And I don't want to put all the pressure on the parent either, because, you know,
we've all been there. Let's face it. It's a universal challenge.
Yes, exactly. And I think it's, you know, it's shaken the children's sense of safety, but it's also shaken the parents' sense of safety. So it's natural as a parent to have felt over the last few months, you know, a lot of pressures. I mean, there have been so many pressures for parents the last few months with kind of parenting from work. You know, many parents were parenting and working from home at the same time. I was trying to do it this morning and it wasn't that easy, believe me. But and as you know yourself, Jonathan, but, you know, trying to kind of keep your child busy, doing the homeschooling thing, which is that dreaded word, managing their emotions. You know, you might have been caring for a sick or loved one or grieving for someone over the last few months. There might have been a lot. The survey that I spoke about earlier, the Bernardo survey, found that there was a lot of frayed family relationships, which is completely normal when you're living so closely together and unable to kind of go out as much. So I think, you know, it has, of course, when a parent is anxious, anxiety is contagious, but so is calm. And I think maybe, hopefully by this stage, we've gotten used to this kind of this idea of life having changed for the moment as we see it. And that maybe even with having that increased sense of social contact around us, because, you know, it has been really difficult. We suddenly were faced with far more threat and far less ability to deal with the threat because we didn't have the physical contact. And actually, and I don't mean to bring up the survey again, but so many people reported that they missed physical contact, both children and parents. They missed 76% of respondents reported missing the physical contact. So they needed more than just the Skype or the phone call.
Yeah, and I suppose the language around this is very important as well, because we are all, by the end of this month, if everything goes to plan, and God willing, and I mean that in every sense, schools reopen, we will have conversations about what it's going to be like going through the school door. And there will no doubt be conversations between parents about, you know, did you see this? Now, look at this feckin' email they're after sending here. And I'm sure that's not going to wash. For God's sake, that's not, isn't that stupid? I'd hate for him to bring it home. And all of these conversations, we forget they're being listened to and being absorbed. So how important is it that we moderate our language and our discussion around this, around the kids, and limit it really to what they just need to know going back to school?
Yeah, I think in the next few weeks, as we said last week, you know, when I spoke to you last week, I think kind of letting your child know age appropriately what's going to happen when they return to school. Some of us know more than others, and some of us are just going to have to wait till they go back to school to know what that's going to actually look like. But I think if you have anxieties yourself, or if you have worries, or you don't agree with this, or I think try to kind of limit those conversations to adult conversations, you know, that you can have on WhatsApp or whatever, on the phone with people, or meeting people outside or whatever. I think there's probably they'll have enough on their plates kind of going back to school after being away for 6 months. I mean, you know, a lot of us have looked at this in a negative way, but really, like, for some kids, they've loved being with their parents for so many months. I know it hasn't been, it's been a roller coaster, and I know you're laughing there. I can only imagine why.
I'm saying nothing, just carry on, please.
Yeah, I know. No, I know. It's been really, really hard. But at the same time, like, that's what I was talking about in my book as well. It's just like the child-parent relationship. It's all about that provides the scaffolding for your child facing this a manageable threat. And that is what produces resilience. And this is a manageable threat for most of us, the COVID situation. Mm. Hopefully, most of us haven't gone through, losing somebody or something really, really awful happening in the last few months. And I think, yes, I agree with you, Jonathan, to moderate the conversation with your children, but also kind of just let them know what's happening, because I think kids can become more fearful when they lack information about important things in their lives.
Yeah, and I suppose the most important thing as school comes back around is that, you know, go to school, have the fun, but listen to the rules. And schools are very good at implementing rules, but, you know, the first instinct of lots of kids will be to go in and effectively, you know, group hug, lick each other or whatever. You know, they want to get back to their peer group as quickly as possible. So how do we explain to them that you can't do what you did on the 12th of March, that you have to stay apart? That awful phrase, social distancing. I mean, what does that mean to a six-year-old? How do you communicate that?
Well, just the way we've been doing it over the last few months. I mean, every parent is different about how they do it. I mean, I think for some parents, they've reported to me, because I work as a psychologist, that coming out of lockdown has been harder than going into lockdown, because there's a lot of kind of, you know, everyone has a different, you know, way at the moment about, do you allow your child on a play date? Do you not? Do you allow them to hug? Do you not? And all of that. But I think kind of leave some of that up to the teachers. You don't have to go, like, I'm not saying leave everything up to the teachers, but you don't have to go on about for ages about, you know, I think children have slowly gotten used to the idea that they're not kind of with as many children as they were a number of months back, that things have changed, that their activities have reduced generally, that there are things that are okay, not okay. They're very adaptable, to be honest. So I think if you find out more information from your school and you feel you need to pass it on to your child, I think do that. But I think you don't have to go on about it.
OK, agreed. Dr. Mally Coyne, a pleasure as always. Thank you very much for joining us. The new book, by the way, is called Love In, Love Out, A Compassionate Approach to Parenting Your Anxious Child. Mary, pleasure. We'll talk to you again soon. Thank you very much.